Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll tell you what I would really love to do just in general, and I've talked to Sheila about this. I don't think we're going to be able to do it, but I would love to literally just have a pet lion.
Yes.
Just a legit pet lion on a chain, a big ass chain, and he really is my pet. We just walk around the building. We go out to practice. We're in 7-on-7. We're behind the kicker when he's kicking. We're just, there we are. On command, you could train him. Like if one of your groups isn't doing well, you could just take him over to their section and just have him take a right there in the middle of where their section is at, and then bring him on back. Yes. I mean, think about it. Be outstanding.
Yeah. Wow.
The Lions have a, what, pro wrestler / potential killer as a head coach?
Yeah, Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
That's the Bears. That'll be on the other side of the – I don't know if they're going to bring a leashed lion into the – okay, that's certainly an interesting thought. So much of this stuff was – I have to get the whole – I don't remember all the details, but Jackie Sherrill was at A&M, and they're playing Texas, and I think they once gelded a Longhorn. I think he once did that. I don't know they have all, but that's what, to show his team to fire him up. So
does he have normal conversations, or do they all end?
Dan
like,
Campbell.
Yeah, even if they're normal, I feel like he'd be like, "Hey, very nice to meet you. Good to see you," and then walk. I will kill you and camp you. Yep.
Yeah.
Dan.
Well, October seems like his month, doesn't it? Doesn't he seem like a horror picture creation?
Ooh,
you know,
yeah.
Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, Chucky. That kind of thing.
I don't know.
Do you think of more like, you know, Buffalo Bill?
Oh, wait. She's a great big fat person.
Yeah, she's a big girl. She's a big girl, sir.
Did they ever find that guy?
Freeze!
Well, hello, Clarice.
Have a good old friend for lunch.
So while we talk about... the historically pathetic Bears and Dan Campbell's Lions. Let me remind you of this. These are not such sorry airwaves, because Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score will carry the Patriots-Buccaneers game and Tom Brady's return to New England.
Yeah, Bears.
That broadcast starts at 6:30 Sunday night.
By the way,
and the hoodie, the evil warlord.
Sorry. By the way, Brandon Fry, I'm just curious. When I was doing the, are you great big fat? Did you get that reference? You probably don't, do you?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. I just laugh at your impressions. Okay. That's all.
No, because you had a smile, but also a confused look. Like it was everything. You're like, I'm appreciating what he's doing over there. That's what this is, me being you or inferring you. But you thought it was funny, but you didn't quite know what it was, right?
Yeah, not at all. You just entertain me. I get lost in your eyes, and then
wow!
I love it.
Do my eyes look blue or green at the distance we are through the glass?
A little bit of both, but I'll say more blue.
Okay. All right. I love Brandon Fryer. Brandon Fryer always looks like he just got done playing volleyball. That's the look that I like. A little bit less today because he's got the flannel on over the t-shirt, but he usually got the baseball cap on, a t-shirt, shorts, and fresh kicks like he just got off the volleyball court.
Okay, maybe he did.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
Now he's got extra time now that he's only got two shows to prepare for on Saturday.
All by himself.
Yeah, all by himself.
Yeah.
So we had a discussion briefly. We heard from Olin Krutz. We need to hear from him again because you just I want to hear that again so you understand how far, how close he's getting, that he doesn't go all, you know, OB and buffoon kind of thing, but with a higher level of he's firing, he's got just as many arrows he's pulling out of his quiver, and it's all rapid fire because of the damning, the blaming. That just listen to Olin Krutz talk about what he just saw or what he had just seen against Cleveland.
It just has to, man. It just has to look different. They cannot do that again. They cannot put him now. Listen, the Detroit Lions, they do not line up with the Cleveland Browns front, right? This is not the dog pound. This is not Miles Garrett. This is not Clowney. This is not Tack McKinley. This is a better matchup for the Chicago Bears offensive line. You knew going into that game last Sunday, those three DNs, if they got the chance to rush the passer, we're going to give the Bears tackles all kinds of problems. I think everybody knew that except for the guys at Hallis Hall who didn't give them any help. So Detroit Lions defensive front, not as good. Coach Glenn's unit up there in Detroit giving up 31 points a game. They don't have the crowd noise. The Bears offensive line looked pretty good against the Rams. Obviously, the interior three matched up better against Aaron Donald. They looked pretty good against the Bengals. You know, obviously four takeaways helps a lot, but this matchup is not the same. So you have some advantages. Peters can handle the Lions defensive ends. At least you hope he can. If Fetty can handle the Lions defensive ends, but this game has to look different. You have to get him out of pocket. I don't buy Coach Nagy's excuse of they knew what we were trying to do. Look, when Trey Lance comes in the field in San Francisco, people know what they're trying to do. Kyle Shanahan still gets him out of pocket. People know what Lamar Jackson's trying to do. He still runs the ball. Why we haven't seen Justin Fields on design quarterback runs, why we haven't seen him out of the pocket, why we haven't seen their best offensive player, David Montgomery, catch more screens out of the backfield like we saw from Kareem Hunt against the Chicago Bears once the Bears defensive line started dominating that game. Oh, look, guys, let's run screens. Well, that's genius. Well, we hope Coach Nagy them. We hope they figure that out and they start to run things that help their offensive line, because when you have a unit that you're not paying much money to and you lost your high draft pick to a back injury and you lost another draft pick to an ankle injury, you have guys that are replacing them. You need to help them out with screens, more runs, draws, and give Montgomery the ball and try to depend on your defense, who are getting Eddie Goldman back this week.
It was just, that's Olin Krutz who's talking. Okay, no excuses. The Lions are not the Browns' defense.
Wow. Sorry to interrupt.
We apparently have a breaking phone call.
Yes.
It's our breaking phone call sounder, Brandon Fryer. Tell us what's going on here on The Score.
You got your good friend Toby here with you.
Oh.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Toby.
What's up, man?
How's it going?
You tell us. What's the breakdown? What's on your mind, big boy?
Oh, man. Well, I'm alive.
What?
And I find that to be the goodest thing there is.
Was there near death or did something happen?
No.
You're alive?
Norm MacDonald. Sorry.
Okay. You got Norm material today, huh?
You know that one.
Yeah.
You know, guys... You know, everybody needs somebody to push you in your job. And quite frankly, the Bears have been outsucking you the last few weeks. It's just, I don't know.
Ooh. Yeah, that's straight fire. That's honest. That's more honesty here than you would hear at Hallis Hall about play calling.
Well, see, and that's part of the problem. I would like to be part of your roll call. Can I channel my last Sunday for you?
Go ahead.
Here it goes. Oh, my God, this sucks!
Okay. As long as we have that on the logger tape, we'll be okay with that.
It's
we
on the logger. Logger. Yeah. You feel good saying that, don't you, Steve?
Logger.
It's on the logger.
Radio
logger. What's the system called over there, Brandon? What's the system we work on?
It's our logger right now.
No. Like
the wide orbit.
Odyssey. Oh, wide orbit. That's it. Wide orbit. What do you think about that?
Wide orbit.
Wide orbit. That's our system. That's the system.
Yeah.
We got a system. Got to
give them a wide orbit.
Yep. Got a wide orbit.
Here's the thing. You know, I take my life lessons from the Chicago Bears, and that's just not a good thing to do. You know, I sucked at my job. I, you know, screw things up, and everybody points it out, and I go, promote me, you know, and it doesn't work that way. And I
not unless you have a good deal of nepotism involved.
You know, and I guess that's the problem. I don't. So, you know. It's just not a good thing to do.
It is getting awfully dark outside of our downtown Chicago studios right now. The rain is about to move in. So I just wanted to warn everybody walking around aimlessly in downtown Chicago right now. So,
all right.
How about that derailing of a segment?
Yeah. Wow, that's it. So the apocalypse is upon you.
Yeah.
Just, it doesn't involve the Bears.
Stream of consciousness here. Sorry.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. All right. Well, Toby, I
you're on record, Toby. You're on record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
You're on logger.
Yeah. You got me. Give me a wide orbit.
We got you wide orbit.
Yeah, wide orbit.
Do some
Would
wide
that be
orbit.
A good rapper's name? Would that be Will? We hear that on the hip hop awards show. Wide orbit.
A distant cousin
Super Bowl
of Biggie Smalls.
Halftime show.
Wide orbit. Yeah, that's right. Gotta like that.
I heard about that. That's right up my alley.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't even know what kind of music you listen to. Actually, what is your genre?
I listen to everything, but Dr. Dre is a god.
Okay.
I, as an ex-producer, and just unbelievable. So, that age-wise, you know, and genre-wise, that Super Bowl. I'm a big, you know, rock Nirvana guy, too, from back in the day, too. I really liked that last week.
Mm-hmm. Right. 30th anniversary.
So, I kind of go back and forth between those two genres.
Okay, so you're Dr. Dre and Nirvana. That's all Toby listens to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. If you've ever seen the Defiant Ones on HBO, pretty much everything.
That's a great show right there. Yes.
Dude, so, Dr. Dre listening to Nirvana in his Oceanside studio.
So here we are. Entertain us, and for God's sakes, don't forget about Dre. You got that, Toby? Toby,
right.
You're the best.
I haven't.
Nope, never.
I almost did, and then somebody reminded me. So
good.
It was like That's 5 good. Minutes, too.
Okay.
And it was like 5 minutes after I forgot, they reminded me. So,
thanks, Toby. Good. You're the goods, buddy.
On the ball. Yeah, we thank you. Thanks for
We got you in. I'm glad that,
Love
Fryer's here today, not Trash Panda, and that's why you got on the air today. So congratulations.
He broke through the substitute teacher.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Toby.
Toby one.
Yeah. Okay. Toby two. Yeah. How many seconds or minutes delay will that halftime show need? Just starting with Snoop.
Oh my God. Well. Yeah. I mean, but you can't stop him from smoking his weed out on the stage. So. You know.
No, you can pixel them out, I guess. They're not cut to them or whatever. I have no idea what's going to happen with that. That's going to be quite a thing. I was thinking that maybe the I'm Fat podcast, they should have like Notorious F.A.T., that we should have one of those rappers.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That should be a rapper.
Or Wide Orbit, like you said.
Yeah, Wide Orbit and Notorious F.A.T. So there you go. Exactly. That's the I'm Fat podcast.
What's up?
Anyways, I wanted to get back to Olin Krutz.
I know
talking
you do.
About no excuses. Because the Lions defense is not the Browns. No excuses. No crowd noise for the offensive line. More no excuses. That the tackles, Jermaine Ifedi and Jason Peters, should be able to handle the defensive ends for no excuses there. And he calls out Nagy's cowardice with Fields or his stupidity in the game plan. It was just, now you can imagine, we heard many, many years on the beloved Buffon and OB and the way that they could crank up the anger.
That Duran.
Yes, and all that, and Olin could get mad. There's no doubt he could, but he was just firing it off by saying, "Nope, nope, 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 nope. Now what? Now what? We dare you to win. That's kind of what it is. We dare you to show progress. We dare." And the way he was talking about screenplays is just a basic line of thought that really exposed and pantsed Matt Nagy, the historically pathetic Matt Nagy, for what it has been, for what this offense has been. It has just been nothing. And no matter what the quarterback is, whatever style, whether the guy could run, whether he couldn't run, whether he was drop back pocket, whether he could get rid of the ball quickly, or whether he'd won a Super Bowl or not, they all sucked under Matt Nagy. And the Bears, the only two people dumb enough to believe this works are Ted Phillips and George McCaskey, because they endorsed the 6-game losing streak. That's the situation you're in.
And tomorrow, the Bears will probably win.
Well, they will.
Because the Lions are hysterically bad. Hysterically.
Yes, they are.
See what I did?
Yes, they are. I saw what you did. Yeah, yep. because of all the wonderful things he does. All right, Bill Lazor, you have a take on this, I know. You heard this. Bill Lazor indicted Nagy by saying this. He's talking about the protection, and he began this thought and this quote with, "If I go back a week, I can't, but if I could, I'd have a different protection plan." Okay. That's fine. You plan a game plan, whatever, it doesn't always work out. But here's where I thought it was really damning. When he says, "We have mechanisms to help the protection, whether it be to throw the ball faster, move the pocket more, to help the edges, to turn the line and help with more guys, to use tight ends more in protection, all the different answers that we have, and they're all in the offense. It's easy to say I would go back and do all these things differently because of what the results are, so let's learn from it and not have it happen again." He is talking about the fact that having all of these options and not exercising them is a failure to act. It's either a loss of poise on Matt Nagy's part, or it is a complete inability to harness his own offense, the one of which he is so protective, so unable to adjust during a game, so unable, incapable of seeing the game in front of him and what requires. If it's all in the offense, why didn't you use it? And Nagy's lame excuse, hint of an excuse, was, "Well, the Browns look like they could thwart some things." Really, you have an athletic quarterback. You're still not sure of everything he can do, and you were not giving him the chance to do it. Maybe he could make a really good defense. Maybe he could get them tired. Maybe he could run around. Maybe he could embarrass them. Maybe he could make something happen. But you were too afraid to even try, or you were too stupid to try. I thought Bill Lazor's quote indicted Nagy. Maybe you heard it different. Maybe you saw it different. What do you think?
Well, I think that, and it's funny how, like, even going back to Mark Helfridge, how when Helfridge spoke and now when Bill Lazor speaks, it's always the same. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is very honest. It's very refreshing. He indicted the call. Like, we've been doing this since
that's true.
Mark Helfridge. Now, I will say, I don't know if he was indicting Nagy specifically. He may have been indicting the entire offensive coaching staff, because these guys are in lockstep. He is loyal to and faithful to Matt Nagy, and I think he is saying, yeah, duh, we would have done things differently in terms of implementing an offensive game plan had we had the opportunity to do it again. So I'm down with it if you think he's indicting Matt Nagy. Like, I'm not going to fight that hard against it, but I think he is more or less saying that we collectively as a staff should have prepared Justin Fields and the offensive line differently for this game. And it's kind of like stating the obvious, actually. It's kind of like, duh, yeah, we know. But it comes out as, wow, he's indicting the coach. He's being, it's only because he's being honest. He's being refreshingly honest about the situation. And he also said, and this was something that Lails and I talked about yesterday, and that's the fact that he admitted, and you could put this down in the indictment category too if you would like, talking about how essentially saying the Bears need to tighten up their practices, that they need to practice better. And you never hear any head coach ever say that we had a bad week of practice, or that, you know, even after a bad loss, well, we had a great week of practice, it looked good to me. But there was Bill Lazor saying, and maybe not directly, but saying, coming pretty close to saying, yeah, we gave them tools to use and they didn't use them, and we need to tighten things up in practice. So if you'd like to look at it as an indictment, that's fine. I think it's more like, more or less like, yeah, duh, you need to practice better. Yeah, duh, you need a better game plan.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And I know we have to break, but I couldn't miss it. I've saved it for just these kind of occasions. There was the question asked of historically pathetic Matt Nagy, why he thinks the Bears' offense will be better in 2021. And his quote began with, probably the way we've been practicing, the tempo.
Tempo. Yeah, he was big on tempo in the... That was his thing in training camp. Yeah. That was his thing.
The tempo in which he gets fired will be most admired.
Oh, man. How many times have you said that in this show?
Well, tonight? I'm hoping. Look, I'm hoping you say it enough. I guess you're going to be right. But you say it enough, and maybe somebody who has been too stupid up at Hallis Hall will finally hear it. Because you can't look at the variety of quarterbacks, and the offense sucks. So you got all different kinds. And what they were allowed to do and not allowed to do. And they tried to make elusive running quarterbacks, Mitch Trubisky, now Justin Fields, pocket quarterbacks. And we saw how that went with Mitch Trubisky, and he's just going to throw dumb interceptions when he's not just staring down his one receiver. And Justin Fields gets sacked 4.5 times. It's just it's 10 times, 9 times, whatever it was.
9 times.
Right. You're just you keep looking at that and go, well, what's the common denominator? The common denominator is Matt Nagy is unfit for the job. That's the common denominator. All right. We need to chuckle or laugh or have some fun. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a little bit of What Are You Doing, Wegner? And we'll try to bring some amusement.
By the way, in BTW, I don't want to spoil the surprise, but it does look like we might have a couple of breaking calls as well after the break. So
breaking phone calls?
Like at least two right now that I'm seeing. There is blinkage in the studio.
Well, we can do that. Yeah. We are 312-644-6767. That gets you to the tech zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And that'll also get you to the breaking phone call sounder that'll give Brandon Fryer something to do. And that's what we'll do. So we'll see what we do next on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
9 times.
What are you doing, Wagner?
That's it. Our near award-winning segment, What Are You Doing, Wagner, where we just sort of do what we do.
Whatever.
Look around the world. Find stuff. Such as, I don't know if you were aware of this, but Freddie Freeman of the Atlanta Braves, he wanted an ice cream machine in the clubhouse. So Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager, agreed and said if the Braves won the East, he would send another ice cream machine to Freddie Freeman's house. That was in June. Now it's time to pay up. The Braves won it. And you know what I thought of? I could not help stop thinking of the idea of a ice cream machine in a home. Is Pat Hughes' terrific story about Ron Santo and the yogurt machine in Arizona.
I don't know if I know that story.
Oh, my God. Pat should put that on a CD and just play it.
Yeah, I'm sure it might be on the CD. Who knows?
Yeah, it's in the USA Today version of it is he went to get some yogurt and he turned the handle and he couldn't turn it back and he filled his cup and it kept going and he couldn't turn it off. And he couldn't turn it off. And the way Pat put it was, and so What do you think this mature man would do? Well, he would acted like a child, and he just dropped the cup and ran away from it.
That's probably what I would do, too, actually.
And the machine kept going. And that's all ice cream, yogurt, whenever it's that kind of soft serve stuff, I just think of Ron Santo, the legend. And that's what he's doing. And Pat Hughes telling that story.
That is fantastic.
Uh-oh, our breaking phone caller.
This phone is like...
It's twice.
Blinking.
It's our phone's blowing up. Our line's blowing up. Well, Brandon Fryer, tell us what we have here.
We got Bob in LaGrange.
Bob, what's up?
Bob in LaGrange, welcome to the score.
Yes, you don't want to play the kid because you don't want to play him, okay? Who has to have... Can't call the quarterback. Who's going to play tomorrow? It's 12 o'clock today. You don't know who's playing. He know who he don't want to play, and that's Fields. But let me ask you a question. He paid the guy $10 million. That's Dalton. I don't know what he promised him on the contract, but he seemed to be kind of looking out for Dalton. What about the kid? You only played one game. What's the big deal? He got sacked. Okay. Everybody gets sacked. But he don't want to play Fields, period. He want to play Dalton, hell or high water, injured or whatever. That's
what
how stubborn he is. Because he don't want to play Fields. Fields going to look good. And now what he's going to do? What are you going to tell Dalton the rest of the year? 14 games left and gave him $10 million. What Pace going to do? Dallas gave him $3 million because they had less sense. How is he worth $10 million?
Yeah, I don't think it's about money. I don't think it's about money, but I don't think about whatever it is, who's doing this, who's doing that. I think there are any number of more believable factors than the salary of either of them. I think one is that Pace made another dumbass promise to a veteran quarterback, and then traded up to draft a quarterback. And I think that Nagy's been exposed as a guy who has no clue how to develop a young quarterback. He has no flexibility in whatever he calls his scheme. He has no ability to coach a game in front of him. And that goes for the quarterback who has legs and can run and prove elusive and stretch the other and test and pressure the other team's defense. Mark, you don't think it's money, do you?
Well, I don't, because the price for somebody like Andy Dalton is $10 million. That's what you have to pay for a starting quarterback in the National Football League. So, no, I have never once thought about – it's a one-year, $10 million contract, and believe it or not, in terms of relative to quarterbacks, that is an affordable price.
Right. Did Brandon – Fryer take his finger off this machine?
The magic of Fryer. You know, I'm telling you, the trash panda comes in here and just blocks out all the calls. And I tell you, and by the way, Adam Studzinski did check in really quick before we get to Wayne. And he did say, tell Toby I'm sorry I didn't respond to his email like 2 weeks ago. I meant to. But then I just didn't. Emoji, arms up in the air. What could I say?
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Yeah. So, Brandon Fryer, now that we have a breaking phone call sounder, what do we have with? What have you brought us?
By the way, I love studs. We have Wayne in Lafayette.
Wayne, welcome to the score.
Do I have officially, Mark, I want to... doggone hard-boiled egg right now, Grody and his buddy Rosie Rosenbloom today on the WB Club and on the Saturday Morning Suckage. You guys are the best, boy. I love you guys.
No doubt about it.
You're just the best. You know, Grody likes hard-boiled eggs, Rosie, but you need to tell him about them In-N-Out burgers from the California area sometime, man. That's way better than a boiled egg, buddy.
Buddy. I've had it. You know I've had it. Really good. Very good.
Oh, you've had them, have you, old buddy?
Yeah,
oh, good.
I've traveled the world, my friend. Yep.
I know. Well, you're getting large. You know, yesterday you were on prime time with Layla.
I was.
Layla, Mahimi.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you guys need to drag her along on some of these Saturday shows, man. It would be large. You know that.
I would never do that to Layla. I would never bring her to the Saturday suckage level. No.
Oh, you guys are the best. So I tell you, hey, you know, last week you were talking a little bit about O.J. Simpson and all this stuff. You know what I mean? I got a real fast one for you here before I get to my Bears stuff.
We weren't on last week. I wasn't talking about O.J. Simpson. I'm not comfortable where this might be going.
Okay, show's over at two.
Point? Yeah. Do you have a sports thought for us?
No, before we kill the
breaking sounder forever.
I want to talk to Mark Grody first about, are you happier with doing Bears stuff or were you happier doing the Cubs stuff? Because you're great at both of them, buddy.
Oh, thanks, Wayne. Yeah, I think I like doing the Bears better just because the schedule is better.
Okay, that's because you're really good at both of them, buddy.
Oh, thanks, man. You're the goods, Wayne.
Glad to have you there.
I appreciate you, Wayne.
Rose, I appreciate you guys big time, man. And thank you. And tell them Nagy to quit calling plays that the defense knows better than his offense knows.
Right. We'll pass that along. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks, Wayne. You're the best,
that.
Buddy. You need to be a little nicer to Wayne. Whoa. You're a little bit too impatient there with Wayne, Steve.
Well, I was protecting our good name. I had no idea where the O.J. Simpson thing could go. In my mind, there was all kinds of bad. I was not part of – was not here last week. Wasn't sure what the discussion was. Was not willing to take the chance – throwing myself on the landmine of protecting Odyssey's broadcast license.
What has happened to you? Oh, no.
I think this is we have another breaking phone call. I think it's probably Spilkis. I think he's calling over. What happened to this show? When did we become a call-in show?
Let's get Bears All Access on right now. Let's get these guys out of here. Yeah.
Brandon Fryer, what have you for us?
All right, Steve, be nice to Wayne. And the next caller is Ron from the North Side.
Ron from the North Side, welcome to the Score.
Welcome. Justin Fields was sacked 9 times last week. And if on a 9th sack he was lost for the season, what would Nagy say after the game? Would he lie through his teeth and say, well, he's being evaluated, he's on a day-to-day basis? We're talking Armageddon.
All righty then. I guess that all of the self-medicating places in the North Side are doing good business.
That was evil, man.
What do you guys think if Justin Fields woke up one day and he walked down and he got hit by a semi? What do you guys think about that?
Leon's getting larger.
Hey, what if there was a tornado in downtown Chicago and you got stuck right in the funnel?
I see the level of you guys callers now. I'm not going to probably accept calls.
No, we're all in favor. Look, the WB Club needs an outlet. It's all about mental, emotional therapy, and we're here for them. That's the way it is. We're here for them.
From the 708, in terms of screening calls, sweet mother of God, get Trash Panda in here.
Sweet mother of God.
Now we all understand what Trash Panda's doing when he hits the X on the phone
system. No, it's
not.
We're here for entertainment purposes.
We are.
I think Brandon Fryer's done an excellent job.
I will annoy calls.
Hey, what if I put cyanide in your coffee this morning, Steve, and you sipped it and then you fell over?
A hard-boiled egg in your coffee. Yeah. We'll do that, too. So I found some signs that were retweeted that I want to run these by you, Mark, as part of our What Are You Doing, Wegner segment until we get our next breaking phone call from somebody's cleaned out his bong.
They're coming in strong now, buddy.
Yeah. So our friend Dan Epstein, wrote the book Big Hair Plastic Grass. He tweeted out this sign recently, spotted by a friend at Kuma's Corner in Chicago, right? You know Kuma's Corner, right?
Kuma's Corner?
Kuma. K-U-M-A.
Is that the burger place?
Yep, big hot dog, big loud burger joint. And it's their sign of requiring face masks. And it says, you know what's really uncomfortable? Pants, but I still wear them in public, not for me, for others. You go, Kuma Corners.
That's awesome.
Another restaurant sign that was tweeted out by RN_Merce, and he commented that this would be the title of his senior honors thesis. And the sign on the restaurant door or window says all lobster prices have increased due to high lobster prices. I couldn't get that out. I felt like Ron Burgundy.
It all makes sense. Yeah.
All lobster, all lobster prices have increased due to high lobster prices. What makes more sense than that? And a third sign that I found was tweeted out by Eric Adelson, a journalist and visiting professor in Florida. And the sign in the window on the door says, "We're asking you to wear a mask, not a Nickelback shirt."
Oh.
I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, so, that's good. Hey, BTW, I heard you when you were, I don't remember, it was a solo show, or it was a week that I wasn't there, and I actually caught you talking about something that I had recommended weeks ago during this segment, and that was the Netflix program, This Is Pop. And
yes,
you said you watched it, and
I watched all of it.
Oh, so good, isn't it?
Yes, that was the hot tip, and I've been passing that along to people because it makes you sing. I mean, when you watch that and you see the stories, again, the first one was Boys to Men. I knew nothing about them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where does this go? Why would you start this series that way? And seeing what they were the seminal group that spawned so much, and what they had to fight through and what they delivered. And I thought, this is tremendous.
Yes.
And I was totally unaware of the auto-tune hatred.
Yeah, T-Pain.
And the guy's laughing through all his billions. And then the guy named Dennis Pop, the Swedish wizard, that all of a sudden every bit of pop music, all pop hit groups, had to go through Stockholm, had to go through somewhere in Sweden.
Yeah.
I found the series fascinating.
So good.
Yes. And then it ended with where my musical love began, which was whatever came out of the Brill Building. And
yes,
Sugar Sugar by the Archies and Andy Kim and Carole King and Jerry Goffin, and then the songwriting tandems and how that was such a factory. I loved it. I thank you again for that recommendation.
Yeah, man. I also loved the Brit pop because I knew that was going on, like Oasis and Blur and all them boys in Britain, but I was so into like the American rock at that time, which was grunge, that I really wasn't paying attention to what was going on in other music and Britpop and all. And I like Oasis and some of those bands, but I was just so absorbed in other stuff that I didn't get into it. So I learned from that too. And then I bet you like the Festival Rising episode too, with like Woodstock and Lollapalooza and all that stuff too. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, a lot of stuff I didn't know about the origins of that, but the learning about Oasis and Blur was, I'd never heard of Blur.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
I mean, Blur was never that big here in the state, like not nearly as big as Oasis, but you know, they had a few hit songs definitely on American radio, but they were huge in London and Great Britain.
Well, I found it interesting. I think I've recommended it to people, and it has been. It makes you want to sing.
Yep.
I just love the music that came out of that. We got to take a break. When we come back, we have more nonsense, some baseball stories coming up. I want to remind you that it's not all Bad Bears football and Bad Lions football. We have this broadcast coming tomorrow, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's us. We will carry, I'm just, you know, the idea of getting good football talk out of my throat is very difficult. The Score will carry the Patriots Buccaneers game tomorrow. Tom Brady's return to New England starts at 6:30 Sunday night, right here on these very airwaves. Take a break and we come back more leading up to Bears All Access. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. And who should win? Do you have a Cy Young favorite in the American League?
Oh, boy.
Do you know it's a route by certain figures? It's a route. It's over. There should not be any
question. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Who's your guy?
Yeah.
Who's your guy?
Yeah. I will tell you.
Oh, okay. Routed, that's a tease. Okay.
It's a tease. Yeah.
Glad I didn't say
that. Big time radio. Let's do a tease. Yeah, we'll come back. Yeah. Saturday Suckage. We suck at teases, too. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, hell yeah.
Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum and Mark Rohde with you. Saturday Suckage. We're just ahead of Bears All Access. So I had said before the break, Cy Young, American League, it's all over.
Mm-hmm. Cole?
It's a route. It's a route.
GC?
Liam Hendricks.
Oh, somebody's thinking outside of the box.
Well, it's Bill James. Bill James, the godfather of sabermetrics. He developed, I think with Rob Neyer, but I know that he developed, and maybe it's Rob Neyer because it's on ESPN, but there is a Cy Young predictor. However, Bill James waits it. He waits it. I'm not going to get into the weeds there. But in Bill James's algorithm, Liam Hendricks has a 174.6. He leads Anaheim's Raisel Iglesias by more than 30 points at 143.8. That's how far ahead, that's how dominant Liam Hendricks has been in at least the way that algorithm is constructed. Carlos Rodon still ranks fourth. He's still fourth. Everything that's gone on when you thought he was number one with a bullet and he was running away with it. But Liam Hendricks is winning the Bill James Cy Young predictor in a route.
How about that said, like the two great signings that Rick Hahn made, Liam Hendricks being one of them, and your guy, Lancer Lynn, being the other.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit of credit, because we always dog these guys when they make horrible signings and the worst things in the world, but yeah, those two have really worked out, and Liam Hendricks is just he's a score guy, too, you know?
But they're both great quotes. They're both just hysterical, right?
Yep.
And Lance Lynn was the White Sox fan who won a contest and gets to pitch for the White Sox, right?
Right, right. And they gave an extension.
Yeah. How did you know you could last all those pitches? Because I'm a big bastard.
Right.
I love that. By the way, the Bill James Cy Young predictor in the National League, get a load of this. The leader is Julio Urias. He's followed by Walker Buehler, and he's followed by Max Scherzer.
Wow.
All three Dodger pitchers.
Not surprising from that organization.
No, it kind of takes the edge off, you know, Clayton Kershaw's season-ending forearm issues. Josh Hader is fourth, and Adam Wainwright is fifth. So he's the Cardinals' likely starter if the standings hold up today. If the Giants continue to be unconscious and the Dodgers have to play the wild card game, it will be against Adam Wainwright and the Cardinals, who win 17 games in a row, or maybe it was 1,700 games in a row. And I love this quote from Wainwright that last week, and it was against the Cubs, right, when they clinched a postseason spot, or maybe just before the Cubs series, right around then. They clinched the postseason spot. And his quote was, Fangraphs had us at like a negative 400% chance to make the playoffs. And we just proved everyone wrong. We're going to try to keep doing that. So Fangraphs saw the quote, retweeted the quote and said this, Adam, we can tell the difference between an Oriole and a Cardinal. Give us some credit, please. That's a great line from nerds.
That is.
That's a great line from nerds.
Did you watch any of the Cubs game last night, by the way? And I would not dock
did
you.
Did not.
Okay.
I was not forced to. No.
They are in screw it mode. Wilson Contreras in the ninth inning.
That's screw it mode. Is that an actual mode?
That is a mode. It's 3-3 in the ninth. There's a hit. I forgot who got the hit. Wilson Contreras, Willie Harris, the third base coach, is putting up the stop sign. Stop. Willie Harris just blows it off and gets nailed at the plate. Or, excuse me, Wilson Contreras. Nailed at the plate. Paul Goldschmidt, the game-winning base hit off of my guy, Rowan Wick. Cardinals beat the Cubs 4-3.
Well, there you go. Such cubbage. Mm-hmm. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. And music means we have to get out of here. I'll leave you with this. BBC reports that Northern Ireland has a clown shortage. So if your name's McCaskey, maybe you can find an additional revenue stream there. I want to thank everyone who listened to Saturday's Suckage. Brandon Fryer for putting on all the breaking callers. We want to thank everyone for calling, no matter what shape you're in. If nobody important heard this show, we'll be back next week. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
See ya.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.